Jesus said to his apostles, "Do not think that I have come to bring peace upon the earth. I have come not to bring peace, but the sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And one's enemies will be those of his own household. Whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Whoever does not take up his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds his life will lose it. Whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Whoever receives you receives me. Whoever receives me receives the one who sent me. Whoever receives a prophet because he is a prophet will receive the reward of a prophet. Whoever receives a righteous man because he is righteous will receive a righteous man's reward. And whoever gives only a cup of cold water to one of these little ones to drink because he is a disciple, amen, I say to you, he will surely not lose his reward." When Jesus finished giving these commands to his 12 disciples, he went away from that place to teach and to preach in their towns. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Yesterday we prayed about the parable of the sower and the seed, which Jesus describes the type of receptivity we're supposed to have toward him, that good and fruitful soil that receives himself, his words, his actions, in such a way that we bear abundant fruit. It's a good preparation for what Jesus says today at the conclusion of his instructions to the 12 apostles as he was sending them out for the first time. We know what he's covered up until now, the message he put on their lips that the kingdom of God is at hand, the deeds that would accompany those words, his own messianic deeds to show that that messianic kingdom had arrived, curing the sick, raising the dead, casting out demons. We pondered the packaging with which he sends them on out, so that they'd be able to proclaim with each other God's providence is real. And today Jesus brings it to a conclusion by focusing more in depth on what he had likewise said earlier, this mystery of receiving or rejecting. It's at the heart. He had already prepared the 12 that if they were received in a home to stay there, not to look for a better deal. The reason was because in receiving them, they would be, as he says today, receiving Jesus and receiving God the Father. But he had likewise prepared them for rejection, that if they would receive no welcome in a place, to wipe off the dust from their sandals, so that they wouldn't be carrying the baggage of that rejection the next place. And he said, many would reject. Civil rulers would reject, the kings and the governors. Religious rulers would reject, the leaders of the synagogues, just like it happened to him. But then he gets to the hardest of all the rejections. He said, even members of your own family would reject you. And today he builds on that. The one who was the fulfillment of Isaiah's prophecy as the Prince of Peace, the one who had sent them out to preach peace to this home, the one who during the Last Supper would give us his peace, not as the world gives, enunciates that he has come not to bring peace upon the earth, but the sword. What he means by that is it would be a sword that would cut us on occasion from those even closest to us who we would love the most. That isn't because he came to divide, but sin divides. And whenever we genuinely prioritize Jesus and become worthy of him, choosing him above parents, choosing him above children, choosing him above best friends, That's when sin will be that sword to the relationship in others. But Jesus likewise speaks about the mystery of welcoming. Whoever receives you receives me, and receives the one who sent me. That if they receive you as a prophet, they'll receive the very reward of Elijah and Isaiah and Hosea and Amos. That if they just give a cup of cold water because somebody is a disciple, they will receive an eternal reward. It's an incredible mystery. Pope Francis, 5 years ago today, was in Paraguay. And based on St. Mark's Gospel on the same scene, he talked about the centrality of hospitality in the Christian life. He said, the Christian is one who knows how to welcome. Christian is one who knows how to welcome. He says the most important fact in evangelization is not words and deeds, he said, but welcoming, accepting people, making a home for them. He says this is why the church is always referred to as a mother, because a mother does this. In the first reading today, we see a mystery of rejection and how God responds through Isaiah with a message of welcoming. You probably recognize this passage at the beginning of the book of the prophet Isaiah. We have it every third day of Advent, on the first Tuesday of Advent, to ponder how we're supposed to welcome the Lord, because it gets us ready. Likewise, we hear it on the second Sunday of Advent, Year A. It's there before us to train us in hospitality. And the essential sin that Isaiah was condemning the people in the northern kingdom, which we've been focusing on these last couple of weeks with Amos and Hosea, Isaiah was sent to preach to the same crowd, was that they were like the princes of Sodom and the people of Gomorrah. You remember from Genesis 19 what occurred there. Angels were sent by God to Lot, but when they came to those towns, the inhabitants of Sodom and Gomorrah rose up to try to sodomize those angelic guests. Rather than welcoming them, they tried to abuse them. And Isaiah was saying that is what the people of his day were doing to the ones God was continuing to send. Rather than welcome and love and embrace, they were in fact taking advantage of and using. At the very end of this passage, God calls to a particular form of conversion. Put away your misdeeds from before my eyes, cease doing evil, learn to do good, make justice your aim. And he gave a couple litmus tests. Hear the orphan's plea, defend the widow. See these people that nobody else takes care of. I want you to welcome them. You're living justice, you're redressing wrongs, you're ceasing to do evil and doing good, will be shown by how you care for those whom nobody else cares for. Today the church celebrates the memorial of Saint Henry. We're preparing in 4 years for the millennium of his death, which I'm already getting excited for. He became King very young. As we prayed in the opening prayer today, even in the midst of earthly pursuits, he was seeking heavenly realms. He was trying to live in the kingdom of God even as he was trying to administer his kingdom. He founded various dioceses because of the way things worked 1,000 years ago, giving by custom a lot of control to the civil rulers to organize Christianity in their regions, founded many monasteries precisely to lead people toward holiness and prayer as real oases so that they could go. But that wasn't just something he was doing on the outside, it was something that was moving him very much on the inside. And even though he had plenty of earthly treasure, He could have easily fulfilled the threefold concupiscence all at once. He rejected it. He lived a Josephite marriage with Saint Kunigunga, his wife. He himself rejected so many of the trappings of wealth and likewise of power. As a witness of how sincere he was, he went to the Abbey of Verdun, trying to renounce the kingdom and just become a Benedictine. The abbot rejected him, but he didn't stop. He didn't bear it. Even though he would become the patron saint of all those rejected from religious life, he continued to approach. And finally, the abbot allowed him to profess as an oblate, as a third order, we would call it in the other mendicant orders. But then as soon as he had received his vows and a precept of obedience, the abbot of Verdun said, "I want you to administer the kingdom according to the law of Christ." And he did it thereafter. And there in the kingdom, he sought to make it reflect evermore Christ's kingdom, which is, as Pope Francis was saying, a kingdom in which we welcome people. He welcomed the poor, often fed them with his own provisions in his own hand. He cared for the sick. He cared for those who were neglected. He made sure, in the midst of having to defend his kingdom with various battles throughout his tenure, that he was not forgetting what was most important. He was living this mystery of love. Sisters, this is at the heart of the church, which is why your vocations are so important. You welcome women whom their boyfriends and their husbands and their parents and their grandparents and their friends so often reject. You likewise try to help them to welcome with faith and love and placing their hope in God the babies growing within them when the devil is trying to lead them to recapitulate his diabolical rejection of God in God's own image and likeness. How important this is to train the whole world to become truly maternal by helping those who have the mission to be moms live it well. And the great way we're prepared to welcome the Lord is here at Mass, when we hear his word every day. We're called to receive it in depth and bear great fruit of it 30, 60, or 100-fold. It's supposed to change our life in multiple ways, which all depends on how well we listen. And then we receive the King of Kings within, the Word made flesh, that seed fall into the ground like a grain of wheat, that when we truly receive as he wishes to be received, will bear abundant fruit in us and change the world. Let us today, through the intercession of St. Henry, who was welcomed into the halls of heaven 996 years ago today, to help us live this mystery that in the midst of so many human realities, we might never lose sight of those heavenly realms and to be welcomed there to welcome others here. Praise be Jesus Christ.
Amen.